Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter, on the line. Shirley, are you there? She's a businesswoman, a speaker as well.
Good evening.
Well, I'm telling you, this is another show. I tell you, this is our, 6 week doing Hot Topics from the Soul. And Hot Topics from the Soul is a lifeline that I created to the community because so many people are going through distressing times in their finances, in their personal lives, in relationships with their children, and they don't have a voice. So Hot Topics from the Soul was created over 2 years ago as a platform for people to have a voice and be connected somehow, some way, because I discovered that so many people were committing suicide because they didn't have anyone to talk to. They didn't have an outlet. So that is why Hot Topics from the Soul exists. Tonight we're going to talk about love and relationships. And I have to look up what love is because a lot of people have so many definitions of love. And love is an emotion, an affection, an admiration, or a tenderness, a feeling that you have towards someone or something. And a relationship is a connection or affiliation, a bond, a link between two people, or if you're connected as it relates to business, it is a connection. That's what builds and forms a relationship. Tonight we're talking about relationships between individuals. Well, and tonight to help us out with that, I have my dear friend Vince Torin, motivational speaker, life coach. Vince, are you there?
I am.
I am so excited to have you. I reached out and called you, and I said, Vince, what you doing? And when I called, I got your voicemail, and it was so profound, the statement that you had on there as it related to Valentine's Day, because this whole month I have committed it to relationships. We had earlier in the month Dwight Pledger and Dan Smith, and we were talking about forgiving for the purpose. And for you to have that statement that you had on your voicemail, I was like, wow, this is it. I hope he's available.
Yes, and I'm available. I'm happy to be here.
I was reading a statement by Anthony Robbins, and he said some of the biggest challenges in relationships come from the fact that most people enter a relationship in order to get something. They're trying to find someone who's going to make them feel good. In reality, the only way a relationship will last is if you see your relationship as a place that you want to give and not a place that you go to take.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the quote that I had on my voicemail was really a conversation that I've been having with people about the importance of love, and as you talked about, this sort of affection and feeling we have, but also the importance of self-love, because as Tony Robbins, you just, the quote essentially says that I'm looking for someone else. I'm looking for someone to complete me. I'm looking for someone to make me feel good, and therefore somehow that it becomes an interdependent relationship as opposed to a healthy relationship where I feel good, you feel good, and as a result, we both make each other or create a third space, which is where we all feel good together.
Absolutely, and that's where there comes an emotional break, because so many individuals aren't strong enough to flow independently in their own being because they have no idea who they are.
Yes, yes, yes. And as we talked about earlier, this sort of that becomes the major obstacle to a healthy relationship, because we don't know who we are, and because we don't know who we attract other people into our lives who don't know who they are. And so what happens is we enter into these very dysfunctional relationships where we are each searching for ourselves, And we are each using the relationship as a space to experiment and to grow and to challenge. And though on the positive side, that's something that can work, on the dysfunctional and destructive side, that becomes a challenge because, again, we expect, it's sort of, as you say, we don't have places to talk about these things. The conversation that we have in society says that love is, you know, love is love at first sight, and love is enough, and if the person does this, if the person does that, you got to get rid of them. And, you know, it's all this destructive conversation. And so we bring that into our relationships, and that makes it more difficult to have healthy, constructive relationships with ourselves and with other people.
Mm. Now, Vince, you are a life coach. Mm-hmm. So what would you say, how would you approach a person that say that they say to you, Vince, I'm in this relationship and I feel stuck. I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I've been a wife, I've been a mother for X number of years, and I've lost my identity, I've lost my way. What active steps would you recommend to them to get focused and to, you know, embrace who they are?
Well, I have in my whole practice, there's a philosophy I have about life and about human beings and about the sort of connection of human beings, and that is around the whole concept of story. My concept essentially says that when you are born, when we are each born, we are born into a story. It is the story of our parents, and then there's the story of our family, and then there's the story of our community and the story of humanity, and that how we live our lives is a function of the story and sort of the next chapter of the story of humanity and of all those other stories that we're born into. And I also believe that the stories we tell about ourselves are the glue that keeps our identity intact. So for someone who comes to me and tells me they've lost themselves, they're stuck, they don't know where they are, they've been in a relationship, they've been in these roles that did not give them the space which made them feel complete and comfortable and healthy and functional in life, I begin to ask questions about the stories that they have, about who they were. What are the stories that are locking them into that kind of conversation? Because the conversation which says, I'm stuck, is in fact a story. And so I want to know, when did you start telling that story? What is that story composed of? How does it feel when you're stuck? How did you get to be stuck? And was there ever a time in your life when you weren't stuck? And what did that feel like? And what was that all about? And generally what you begin to find with stories is this is something magical about them, which is that when you stop telling a story, it loses its power. So I invite people in the process of coaching with them to recreate a new story, to create a story of their lives, to take the old glue of their identity, which is the stories of dysfunction and things that didn't work and places where I didn't get heard and places where I didn't get what I needed and all of those things, and to create a new story out of it. The examples I have are people who have disease or have you know, cancer or any other kind of disease, and some person will say, this is the end of my life. I've been diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor says I'm going to die, and I agree, I'm going to die. And you find other people who say, I've been diagnosed with cancer, and that has been my lease on life, my new lease on life. I don't want to die. I'm not ready to go. I got all these things I got to do. I got all these people I have to talk to. I got all these unfinished projects in my head. I want to live. And so the opportunity for each of us is to take the circumstances of our lives and to write a story that uplifts, inspires, and makes us feel good. And if the story we're telling doesn't make us feel that way, then we need to start making new stories.
Mm, that was powerful.
Wow.
I'm going to have to play this over and over because that statement you made was so rich.
So, Vince, this is Shirley. So what I'm hearing you say is that when we tell a new story and everything, what we're doing is like actually expanding ourselves into an area creating something new? And is that how love comes in, when we start to build around that new story we're creating? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think the new story, if it makes you feel good, inspires you, uplifts you, et cetera, it creates the context for love of self. And when there's love of self, Les left a message for me one time, and he said that he quoted someone who said, if you're feeling unloved, you need to get rid of somebody, or if the person didn't give you what you wanted, you need to get rid of them and start all over again, or something like that. And I said, no, here's the thing that we have to do, is if we find ourselves feeling unloved, we have to love ourselves, and then we put an end to that story altogether. And so part of this whole process of creating the new story is creating a story where I feel good about me. I feel good in my own skin. I feel good about all the things that have happened to me in my life. I believe they're in divine order. I believe that I'm a blessing and that I have been blessed. And then when I meet you, in the context of creating a relationship, I'm not worried about what you do. I'm not worried about whether you're making me happy, because I'm already happy. And then that gives you the space to be who you are, and that gives us the space to create something positive, productive, successful, happy, enriching, fulfilling, et cetera.
Mm. Wonderful. So basically learning to love ourselves and accept ourselves in all and who we are, reconnecting with who we are, and
exactly.
Building
from within, and building from without as well, right? Because it's okay. I think sometimes we get in conflict sometimes around, well, okay, I have people, because I believe in the building from within. I believe the power of the stuff that's within. But I also believe that sometimes it's okay to build from without as well. And my relationship with another person is a function of my building from without. That is, in relationship with me, you can't be inside of me, right? I have this other phrase that I say to people, and Valerie spoke to this earlier, this sort of quest for we don't really know ourselves. We also don't know other people. I say to people in relationships is, here's the reality. When you meet someone, and I don't care if it's love at first sight or love at 100th sight, you think you know them. And you fall in love, now you have a relationship, and it's going really well, and you build a long-term relationship. You think you know them. But the reality is, you never really completely know them. Even in a relationship where there's good communication, there's honest and open communication, honest and full disclosure, what happens is there's a whole nother story about who this person was before they met you that you may never understand or ever know, in part because for all of us, there's an evolution that's happening. There's a revelation that's happening about who we are in the world. And so what happens is, in the best case scenario, you know a part of who I am. You know a part of what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. But you may never understand completely all the experiences that shaped me and shaped my perspective and shaped my view of the world. And therefore, when you try to interpret what I'm doing, it's always from a limited point of view. And so part of this process is beginning to create a space where we allow each other to be who we are in the experience of our own lives and to share the joy and the happiness, as well as the sadness and the exploration and the difficulty and the challenge that comes from living lives, but being there side by side because we care and because it's important for us to share that kind of space with another human being. I also say to people that we are intended to be in relationship with each other. How do I know this? Because God didn't create Adam and say, good luck. God created Adam, and then he created Eve, and then created other people. And at last count, there were 6.5 billion people on the planet. We're supposed to be in relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm. I was reading a quote by Deepak Chopra, and he said, however good or bad you feel about your relationship, the person you're with at this moment right now is the right person because he or she is the mirror of who you are inside. And I kept reading that over and over again, and I'm like, there's so many people in relationships that are miserable, and they're like opposite people. They're like they could snatch each other's eye out. So how could that be the right person at the right time? You have some insight on that, Vince?
Yeah, yeah. I love and I agree with Deepak on this notion that we only attract into our lives that which we are. Let me say that again. We only attract.
Say that again.
We only attract into our lives that which we are. You see, if I.
Wow.
Right? So what happens is you can't be in relationship with me, in an intimate relationship with me, if there's something, not something about you that I see in me. So what happens is if you're in a relationship and it's dysfunctional and you hate the other person and you want to pull their eyes out and pull their hair out and have all these experiences, that's reflective of a self-loathing. That's reflective of the fact that you don't feel good about you. Because the only way you can be in relationship with someone who doesn't feel good about them is if you don't feel good about you.
Wow.
We
so you're saying, okay, so what you are saying and Deepak Chopra is saying is you are attracted to that person. Because, you know, I asked you, and I actually brought up the thing that there are good guys that wind up with bad girls, and then there's good girls that get bad men. Why is that? And why is it such a lopsided scale? So you're telling me that the reason being is because they are a mirror of the person they're with?
You can never, again, we can never attract into our lives anything that we are not vibrating with, that we're not sending out consistent energy with. We can't have in our lives. It can't exist in our lives unless there is a level of connection. And so I was thinking about this as we talked about this in preparation for the show in my own life. Let me give some specific examples so that people don't think I'm completely crazy on this. I grew up in a household, my mother and father, married young. I'm their first child. And they were both, the joke is, type A personalities, strong personalities. My mother just was not, in the beginning, she was kind of like, okay, he's in charge. And then about a few years later, she decided, no, I got to fight for my opportunity to be in charge as well. And so they used to go back and forth. One time he'd be beating her, and another time she'd be beating him. I mean, it was just ongoing conflict around who was in charge. And so as their first child, I thought this was what relationship was. Again, this goes back to the conversation around the story. In the story of my family, I'm learning, and all of us, we're learning about love and about relationship and about how men and women interact with each other. These things are happening at an unconscious level. We're listening, watching, and the tapes are being put into our brains. So when I get to be in high school, right, I'm 16, I find this first woman I'm in love with, and I don't even realize that there's a level at which she is a reflection of what I believe love is supposed to be and the way a woman is supposed to act. And there are some strange things that happen that make me start to wake up around this, but it takes me years before I see the complete picture. At one point, I'm standing in front of the high school. We're 16, 17 years old. I'm standing in front of the high school, and this woman who's my girlfriend, who was my girlfriend for a long time, she comes up and runs up on me, and she says, get away from the school. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I go to high school here. Get away from school. I don't want these other girls looking at you. I'm like, well, wait, hold on. I go to high school every day. The girls are going to look at me. What do you want me to do? And so we got into this big argument about I was standing in front of the high school too long. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But then another night, I was at her house, and I walked around the corner. We lived around the corner from each other. I walked around the corner. I walked up on a porch. She had a porch in her house, and it was maybe 8 or 9 steps. So I walk up, and I get up about 3 or 4 steps, and I hear all this commotion. And I see her and her mother and her sister and her mother's boyfriend, and they're running the length of the porch, and the mother's got a billy club, and she's chasing the man, hitting him. And they're chasing him. And one of them, when he would run one direction, the other one would run the other direction, and they have him, you know, in between. So all three women trying to get this man so the mother can beat him. I'm looking. I'm like, this is craziness. Years later, I realized that I was attracted to this woman because that's what I saw in my household.
Right.
My mother used to hit my father sometimes. So it only made sense that the first woman I fall in love with is going to come out of a household where there's beating up of a man.
So the abnormal became normal to you because of the fact that that's what you had experienced as normal.
It's what I experienced as normal. I didn't know anything else. And I didn't, you know, I didn't go running around high school going, "Is anybody in here got a mother who beats up their father and boyfriend?" Right? I just, you know, I'm just being a 16-year-old boy. I'm like, you know, I'm fly, I'm this, I'm that. And the woman who catches my eye, she's got both the physical thing that I think is attractive, but she's also got this emotional, psychological, energetic thing that I'm attracted to. Because it's what I know, and all of us have this sort of space inside of us that is consistent with who we are, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, it gets reflected back in the people who are in our lives.
You know what?
I tell people when I coach them.
Correct.
Say that again?
I said you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. I tell people when I coach them, they say, "Well, you know, I'm in a relationship with somebody I don't really like, and I don't want this." I say, "Well, you know, either get rid of them or get rid of the thing inside of you that's holding them in place. When you change, either they'll change with you or you'll attract new people in your life. They'll disappear because energetically you won't be aligned anymore."
But hold that thought right there, Vince. You told them to get rid of that person. Now, do you find that individuals that you tell to do that, despite of what you say to them and how you show it to them and you weigh the odds and, you know, show them the good and bad and even have them do a list of the pros and the cons, that they refuse to let go? Why is that?
Because it is a reflection of who they are. I can't. It's sort of like when we look at ourselves, right, and we do an honest assessment of who we really are. We have some things we really like about ourselves and things we don't like about ourselves. And the things that we don't like about ourselves, you know, Les has this expression. He says if knowledge changed anything, everybody would be rich, skinny, and happy.
Right.
So it's not that we don't know, right? It's not that we don't know that if you eat the wrong foods, you're going to be heavy. We know that you need to do all these things. So part of the process is to be in the space where we recognize that even when we start to know that this situation is not good for us, that, you know, eating a gallon of ice cream at midnight is not good for us, there's a part of us, if we are conditioned to think that that's okay, there's a part of us that really has to make a conscious decision to stop. And that's the way dysfunctional relationships are. I have to make a decision that the part of me that's broken, the part of me that doesn't like me, the part of me that's not comfortable with me, that I am willing to do something to change it. I'm willing to do something to heal it. And until then, I will keep the energetic spaces around me, and that includes relationships with other people, that keep that and hold that intact. Because I can't see myself any other way. I tell a story. This is comes from my childhood as well. My aunt, my mother's sister, was heavy growing up. And about 30 years old, she decided that she was going to go on this radical diet and she was going to lose all this weight. And she lost, I don't know, 40 or 50 pounds. She looked fabulous. And I saw her right after she lost the weight. I was, you know, very proud of her, and we, you know, hugged and had this wonderful conversation about how she did it, and I applauded her for doing it. And about 3 months later, I saw her, and she had started to gain the weight again. And I said to her, Sarah, what's going on? Why are you gaining the weight again? She says, I've always been heavy, and I can't see myself any other way.
Hmm.
And that's what happens in relationships. She was looking in the mirror, and she had always seen herself as a heavy woman. And so this woman who was looking back at her, who was slim and was starting to feel healthy, wasn't her. It wasn't consistent with the story she had, the glue that held her identity intact. And she had to go back to gaining weight. She died in her late 50s of a heart attack.
Wow.
Because she had been obese her entire life, and she had could not see herself any other way. And that's what happens. We can't see ourselves any other way.
I'm going to open up the call in a few minutes because I see people with their hands up. But this is really good, and I want to make sure that, you know, the information that you have, Vince Torin, is, you know, properly given tonight for those that are listening by, you know, on their laptops and so on. But you are absolutely correct when you said that because you were raised in that environment, which was toxic and you didn't realize it was toxic, that that's the type of relationship that you gravitated yourself to. And strangely enough, I had a conversation with one of my daughters today, and we were talking about this very same thing because I'm a survivor of domestic abuse. I was married 19 years, and 17 of those years were physically, mentally, and emotionally abusive. And I've tried in the midst of all that to shield my children and protect them in the midst of it, not knowing that, you know, it was affecting them mentally. And later on, emotionally in life, you know, no matter how I tried, you know, to shield them and make it seem like it was okay, it's going to be all right, you know, they're right now, they are all productive individuals here in this earth, and they're all servers and givers in the earth. So I'm very proud of that. But they have some emotional dysfunctions. Each one of them has issues. And I was talking to one of my daughters today, and one of them is she has zero tolerance for men, period. You trip her up one time and she's done, it's over, it's a wrap. It's like, what? You know? And I have another daughter that's, you know, more submissive and, like, you know, she'll take it and, you know, she'll take, you know, in the relationship for a while, then after a while she'll flip out and be like the bride of Chucky. you wind up and then you be done had your head cut off. But I noticed that with my boys, they have that authoritative, controlling, demanding demeanor about themselves. It's like if they're in a relationship with an individual, they feel like if they say something to that woman, that they're supposed to immediately respond and immediately do what they said. Now, you know, because I recognize the signs and I see little bits and pieces of things that they do that display because of the domestic abuse that I suffered and things that they watch. You know, I spent the majority of my life, well, all of my life since that divorce, feeding into my children emotionally, communicating with them, allowing them to share what's on their hearts, what's on their mind, you know, where we talk about different things. So when I see different emotions displayed like that, I go up in there and I turn the mirror on so that they can see it, you know, and I do it in a manner. You know, because, you know, I can't be a life coach and share with individuals how to get to the next level if my house is a wreck, and mm-hmm. I have dysfunction all around me. So I'm able to go up there and walk in there because one thing I've already always been able to do is communicate with my children. And I communicated with them even more so after the divorce because I had to pull back all of those layers of the things that they saw, the things that they experienced, to show them that that's not the way life is and that's not the way it's supposed to go. So I go up in the events, and I'm like, okay, this is what you're doing, and this is not the right way. This is the way you need to handle this. Now, I got to tell you, I am so grateful that I do have the children I have because they honor and respect me in my space. And, you know, even though they may not agree with what I'm saying at that particular time to them, they won't talk back to me. They will go away. But every time they've all came back to me at a different time and said, you know, Mom, you were right. You know, I did check that. I am, and I do have some of those traits. So I'm going to be more mindful of that. And you know, I think as we go on in our daily life and we're able to go up in there, even in a relationship, and you're with a spouse and you know there's a dysfunction there, don't take that dysfunction and use it as a weapon against them to destroy them because they're already ripped up inside. You have to go up in there with love, which I gave a definition of what love was, that love is an affection, it's an adoration, a tenderness, a feeling of fondness and devotion one to another. It's a passion that we share between two souls. So that's why we talking on Hot Topics from the Soul.
Yes. And I want to just, I love what you just did, and I want to also add another dimension to love because I honestly believe that there's another part of it that we don't really talk about, which is the space around divinity. That is that the scripture says, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst of them.
Mm.
And the old way of thinking about that was that was supposed to be the space where if you and I pray about the same thing, that God was going to answer our prayer. But I honestly believe that God meant much more than that, that Jesus meant much more than that, that there was a space in which he was essentially saying, in the moment when you feel love for another human being, then you will have a sense of the love that I feel for you as my child. Then you will know that you are not alone. Then you will know that you are part of the spirit of life itself. Then you will know that you matter. Then you will know that you were meant to be, to have another companion. Then you will know that life itself flows through you and that you're part of the continuum of life. And so I think part of the thing that we don't often acknowledge is that part of that reflection we see is also not only the dysfunction of who we are, but in the purest sense, it is the perfection of who God is.
This call here is hot tonight. I think we're getting it all up in there, Vince Torre. And Vince, you know, I don't want you to get away without people knowing how to connect with you, how they can, you know, read more of your information, how they can get your coaching.
So I have a couple of things. One is I have my own blog talk show, which I call Freedom's Call. And I do that on Wednesday evenings at 6:30, and you can reach me at www.blogtalkradio.com @Vince Toran, VinceToran. You can also reach me on my email, VinceToran, VinceToran, @AOL.com, or you can call me at 203-615-4314. That information again, blogtalkradio.com /VinceToran or VinceToran@AOL.com or 203-615-4314.
Thank you so much for sharing that because I know there are people that are going to be wanting to connect with you because one thing I've discovered is that everybody wants to hear know what the brothers have to say. We all want to know what's on the hearts of men.
Oh, we
what
have to
we
do
can
that.
Ask,
we have
I
to do
make,
that
we
show.
Can ask Vince.
Yes, indeed. Vince, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Vince? Okay, I have a question for you. When you're talking about, you know, it sticks with me what you said about who's inside of us and how we attract the people that we feel, what we feel inside. And I sit there and I thought about that and I contemplated on it and I said, wow, you know, because I think about relationships, when we go in and out of relationships, and sometimes we wonder, why do we attract the same type of people? And when you said it's because of what's inside of us, who we are in the inside, and that gravitates us to the same type of people, even though we get out of that relationship and say, I'm done with that, and we find ourselves with a different person, but so familiar. It's like once we get familiar with a certain type, we tend to just keep gravitating to that. And you're saying that the only way we're going to change that is we have to change what's inside of us. And it's basically what we're feeling inside. How do we feel about ourselves? We have to make the change. And when you said when we make that change, they will go away because they're not going to be attracted to us anymore.
That's exactly right.
Is that what you're – okay, all right.
It's exactly right. And I think that there's another piece of this which is something, again, that's a nuance of this whole process. Most people attract a certain energy, a certain type of behavior, and they get out of the relationship because they had some awakening that was not the right thing to do, and then they attract it over again, and then they get rid of that one, and they attract it again, and they keep going over and over and over again in these same endless vicious cycles. The gift that you can give to yourself is consciousness, and that means when you begin to see this pattern that was destructive, that was not helpful, that was not uplifting to you, then you have the opportunity at that point. Again, that's why I say early on that when people come to me and say, well, I'm in this crazy relationship, what can I do? I say, well, you can get rid of them or you can change you. Because now once you have this level of consciousness and awareness, you know that even though this other person is acting crazy and doing something that the old person used to do, you know that the reason why they're standing before you is because of you, not only because of them. And so then when you begin to have that awareness, you can then start to change yourself and begin to ask yourself, what do I need to do to heal this? What is the story inside of me that keeps attracting this dysfunctional behavior? And how do I change it? And how does it show up? And then we can begin to attract new people and to attract new situations in our lives. But until we're willing to ask the question, what is it in me that is attracting this? And what is it that I can do to heal it? It will repeat itself over and over and over again.
I think a lot of people suffer from possibility blindness. They're afraid of the person in the mirror, that if they see that real them, that real personality, they've been operating in it for so long till when reality comes, they don't know how to handle it and they get afraid. And I believe that's why individuals, when they are in these relationships, they refuse to let go because anything else would be throw them out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And we have to be willing to, I tell people around, again, I look at these things and I get simple about them and complex all at the same time, but I try to remind people that in the evolution of life, we were meant to grow and to change. We don't have people who mourn their toddler or infant bodies. I don't know what happened to mine, right? But it changed, and I gave it up, and I don't look back and wonder where it is. So what happens is that we have to be, as we get to be adults, we have to be willing the scripture talks about dying daily. We have to be willing to grow, to learn, to take the experiences of life, and this is, again, why I'm saying that even in the best case scenario, we don't always know the other person we're involved in because most of us don't know ourselves. There's an evolution, a process where we're learning more and more and more about who we are and how we show up and what possibilities exist in our lives. And when we embrace that space, when we are willing to give up the old person, willing to give up our parent story about how to function in the world, willing to make our own story, to make our own way, then magic can begin to happen, and we can have many possibilities, and we can have happiness, and we can have fulfillment, and we can have God present in our life in the most healthy and productive ways possible.
Mm. And, you know, that is the key, inviting God in. Mm-hmm. And if we don't invite him in, then we're on a continual train wreck.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's really... It's a nuance here. He's already there. It's inviting our awareness of him. He's already there. He's waiting for us. And we just have to say, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to understand you in the same way that we have to say, I want to heal this part of my life that doesn't work. Mm. Or as we say when we're toddlers, I want to walk. I want to run. I want to experience life as I see the adults around me experiencing life. So we have to also begin to say that as we are adults and begin to find models of healthy relationships and begin to ask questions. What are you doing? What works? How are you operating with each other? What kinds of tricks and tips do you have? Well, one of the tips that my mother and father divorced and then ended up remarrying, and one of the things that my mother learned in between from a couple who had been married for 50 years was a very simple thing, and it was, don't go to sleep mad. If you've got an argument that builds up during the day, resolve it before you go to sleep. And I asked her one day, why is that important? And she couldn't explain it. She just said, I don't want to go to sleep mad at you and wake up in the morning mad at you. So, but I said, well, what's that about? And as I got older, what I began to understand is that if I go to bed mad at you, then basically I'm taking that into my subconscious. I'm taking that into my dream state. I'm taking that level of disconnection from life into my sleep. So when I wake up in the morning, I can't help but feel bad. I may not even remember why I'm mad at you, but I'm taking it into my subconscious. So what she learned that allowed her to be married for 30 years after she had been married to my father for 15, 20 years was this just a very simple change that rather than holding on to the anger, rather than holding on to the fear, rather than holding on to the spaces that were dysfunctional, that she had to let it go before she went to sleep, because then she could sleep in peace, knowing that even if she woke up in the morning and they decided that the relationship was over, that it wasn't because of the issue that didn't get resolved before they went to bed.
When I was growing up watching my grandparents, I experienced that with them, my grandparents disagreeing. And when my grandmother got ready to go to bed, she would look at my grandfather and say, are you coming? And he'd be like, yes. And he'd get up, turn off the TV, and go. I used to think that she was doing it because, you know, me young and everything. I thought she was doing it and telling him to come on. And they went away, and when they did go, it was a spirit of peace. And he got up. When he got up, she reached over and she kissed him, and they walked into the bedroom together. I thought it was because they were scared if they died that, you know, they would go to hell. Because, you know, I'm raised up in the church, and it's telling you don't have an ought against one another. So that was why I thought they did it. But the thing is, it was because it's scriptural. It was saying don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, so don't have any ought against one another. And it was a possibility that one could slip away into eternity in their sleep. And could you imagine the turmoil and the hurt that that other individual would suffer because they didn't get a chance to say I'm sorry. And that's why when we were talking about the power of forgiveness the last 2 weeks, you know, it was so profound, is because a lot of people are going to miss out on their purpose and the promise of the Father because they refuse to forgive an incident that the spouse did, a word that they said to them. There's no coming together. They'd rather hate than love. And nobody wants to be right or be wrong in a situation. So they hold to their guns, and they'd rather take it to their grave just because they feel that that's one power that can be taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Well, you know, one
and
that
this,
we have
this,
about...
This unwillingness... Go ahead, Shirley.
No, that was Sam.
We have about 15 minutes left of this radio show, and I'm telling you, the time has gone by so fast. And, you know, I said I have hands that have been up, and I want to at least give one or two people the opportunity to give their question or comment. And if you can please just limit your questioning and comment, you know, if it's for Vince Tauren or Shirley Carter or myself, you know, direct that question, and then we will respond to you so that we will give other individuals the opportunity to say something. And also, Vince, before I do that, I want to make sure that you give out your information once again, so if anybody want to reach you.
Okay. So I do my own show on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m., and that you can find that information on blogtalkradio.com. / Vince Tauren. My last name is spelled T-O-R-A-N. Or you can reach me on email, Vince Tauren, V-I-N-C-E-T-O-R-A-N at AOL.com. Or you can reach me by phone, 203-615-4314.
Wow, Vince, you're brave. You giving your phone number?
I ain't
now
scared.
That is pretty brave. I don't even give my phone number unless I'm talking about, you know, an event or something. I say, you call me about the event because, you know, people are like, oh, he's a life coach. Let me call him and tell him what's going on with me. See if he can help me. I tell you, laughter is like a medicine. But, you know, I am so happy.
He's up for the challenge.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm up for the challenge.
I am so happy.
Let's just say, I ain't scared.
God bless your heart, I tell you. But I'm going to open up the lines now. Those of you that are listening, I have my retreat coming up, Soul Retreat 2011. It's August 12th and 13th in Orlando, Florida. We'll be at the Shingle Creek. Shingle Creek in Orlando. So, you know, save the date, August 12th and 13th, Soul Retreat. This is our sixth annual retreat. We'd love to have you, and it is open for men and women. And I tell you, the signature part of the retreat is our rap sessions we have. And during the rap sessions, we separate the men and the women, and we talk about anything and everything in concerning the human spirit. This is like a platform where you can hash out everything, and it's safe ground. So you can say or do whatever you want in those rap sessions as it becomes a communication so that you can get a breakthrough in your lives. Because I set it up this way because I said a lot of time you go to conferences and workshops and you don't have the opportunity to talk and say what's going on in your life, so you go back home the same way you can. But if you go to my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, or you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com. I'll be more than happy to give you information regarding the retreat, August 12th and 13th in Orlando, Florida. I have the line open for caller 5688. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, this is Mercy in Atlanta. I'll try to keep this under 2 minutes. I do want to concur with a couple of things that said. One is this whole pattern with how you pick people. You are, I have come to the understanding, I've seen it in friends of mine when I was growing up as a little boy, they picked their mothers to like the T. And, you know, if they had mothers who were very negative, they, for some odd reason, they had to have a very negative individual in their life.
Wow.
And I also agree with Beth on the fact that when you come to that, what I call self-awareness, when you come to that self-awareness period where you realize that you have the power to change it by and or speaking into existence or acting it out into existence, then I do agree with this or that part that you do change those things. I work with just men, so it's a little bit different for me. I see the pattern for men like 80% everybody's the same as far as that gender is concerned. My question comes down to this, though. Now I've taken my business a step further where I'm trying to help change the culture for the better. So I create events in Atlanta to try to bring good brothers in the presence of good sisters who sisters claim they can't find these guys, but there's a whole bunch of them.
So you the love connector?
Here's my question.
Are you the love connector for Atlanta?
well, here's the thing. It's not so much of a love connection. I believe that I come from the West Coast, and in the West Coast, people tend to talk and not put themselves in such a defensive mechanism or as much of a controlling mechanism. We have this saying in California, you can recognize drama from a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go ahead and bite the apple, that's on you. But since I've lived in the South, what I've come to understand, which goes to my question, what I've come to understand is people can see drama, and it is a part of who they are at the core. They either don't recognize it, don't want to see it, but what I find is for a lot of our ladies is this controlling mechanism to want to force this square peg into this circle hole. While I see guys do that less, guys are willing to sell out for sex. Well, I'll just get sex, rims, and a nice job, and that'll be all that I am. But then you'll have these other guys who, once they get to that point in life, they say, hey, look, I need a destiny. I need something a little bit deeper. And I'm going to get this girl who may not be as attractive, but she's great to come home to. Here's my question for any of you guys, really. Why is it that for some people, male and female, but I see it mostly in a lot of ladies, this control mechanism, like you must control this scenario. You're picking things, and it's the same side of the mountain over and over and over again, and it's to your detriment, but you keep trying to force it in there as opposed to take Johnny over here, do a little work, and Johnny probably treats you sweet as pie for the rest of your life. I see guys do that. They'll pick a woman up from the bus stop at college or whatever the case. And I see ladies have so much constrictions and you know, so please enlighten me.
Shirley?
You want that one, Val, or you want me to take it?
Go ahead, Shirley. I can handle it, but you go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that I've noticed over the years, you know, yes, a guy could pick up a woman and dust her off and she's a keeper. But over the years and the experience and dealing in relationships and everything, what I find from a woman aspect, that a woman can do the same with a man, but once he gets polished, he goes to the other side. Once he gets polished physically, emotionally, and financially, he moves on. He finds something within himself that says, oh, I deserve better, or I think I can do better now that someone is noticing me, other than the one that picked him up and dusted him off. So that leaves a lot of women to go to the point that I need to be in control of my situation from this point on. Once you've been burned so many times like that, they become more hard and more focused and more direct and saying, he's got to come with this package already in place because I'm tired of picking up, finding a man, dusting him off, helping him get to the next level, and he walks away. That's why you see that in a lot of women today. Women are losing patience in dealing in relationships. Women are starting to get into the point that it's almost like they can take it and leave it sometimes. And then you hear women say, I can't find a good man, or there's no good man left. I've heard so many sisters talk about the fact is that they feel there's none left because all the things they have to deal with in that relationship to build a relationship with someone, because it's like men have gotten to a point, some men, I don't want to say all men, some men have gotten to the point that they have so many options that they don't want to commit to one, just one relationship, that they want to exercise all their options. Go ahead.
Well, let me add this part of the question. For my business is now a working thesis, so I'm kind of out of the opinion zone. This is just how it kind of pans out event after event. I can bring a bunch of decent guys, but what I find is the ladies, and maybe this is just my region, they're so super critical of these individuals. They can't just come and enjoy a conversation. Everything is like I can appreciate what you just said. But for the majority of my people, they tend to come in. I have a woman that's a size 20 that wants a fit track running brother so bad and will critique the brother that is two sizes less than her, who might be, as our grandmother used to say, sweet on her, and she'll shoot that off to the left. So I'm just throwing off. I know you guys don't have that many minutes, but I just kind of wanted to try to, you know, get a good understanding on how to do that. I have an event coming, so I just really wanted to understand.
Well, reach out to me. You can email me at soultopics@gmail.com. I would give you my phone number, but I'm not as brave as Vince Torin.
and let me just say this,
but actually,
my brother.
If you go to my website, my phone number is on there for those that are listening. You go to from the soulofawoman.com, you will find my phone number and email and everything on there.
And let me just add this last piece, which is that this goes back to the conversation around we tend to treat other people as a reflection of how we treat ourselves. So the size 20 woman who's decided that she wants somebody fit and trim, she really wants to be fit and trim herself, and she's not willing to make that change. So the brother who's coming to her, who may be sweet on her, but sweet on gallons of ice cream at midnight, she can't deal with him because she can't deal with herself.
Did Vince Torin wrap that up for you?
Yes. I just got a brother out here.
I like because Vince Torin is awesome.
If any of you guys ever come to Atlanta or live in Atlanta, please come by one of my events. Check us out on Facebook. Atlanta Free Grown Up Events. But I appreciate that information, though. I really do.
Well, I need you to connect with me because I'm going to be in Atlanta now. And so I need you to call me so I can give you a description of what I'm looking for. That went over your head. Okay. All right. You're not in for dope tonight.
All
right.
I caught you now. I caught it.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you
so much. I appreciate you sharing that. And also, please do connect with Hot Topics from the Soul again, because we like to hear what people are thinking, what they are feeling, and that's what this platform is for. So we're going to have a platform. We'll have guys, you know, from our listening audience that we can talk and interview so that we can hear your voice. So please, by all means, email me so that I can put that piece together. Vince Torin, Shirley Carter, thank you so much for joining me on Hot Topics from the Soul. As I said again, reach out to Vince Torin at, what is it, Vince?
VinceTorin@AOL.com.
Okay, and Shirley Carter?
You can reach Shirley Carter. I'm on Facebook, You can also reach me at my email at cfmcj56@aol.com.
Thank you so much, and I pray that you all have a powerful weekend. Replay this radio show and email it to your friends, pass it along, and listen to the previous show so that you have a better idea of all that we're doing to cater to the human spirit of individuals. Peace and blessings. Have a powerful week. I look forward to you being back with me next Thursday at 8 p.m. I have Dr. Carlos Malone joining. He is the author of The Rib Connection. You do not want to miss this, brother. You think Vince Torin was hot. Wait till you hear Bishop Malone. Peace and blessings.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.